Blog Talk Radio.
I can get to sleep. I think about the implications of diving in too deep, and possibly the complications, especially at night. I worry over situations I know will be alright. Perhaps it's just imagination. Day after day it reappears. Night after night my heartbeat shows the fear. The streets smell the desperation. At least there's pretty lights, though there's little variation. It nullifies the night from overkill. Day after day it reappears. Night after night my heartbeat shows a fear. Ghosts appear and fade away. Come back another day.
James Bostic, Conservative Perspective here on Patriot Nation Radio at Blog Talk Radio. Good to be here with you. We do it live Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Probably not very lively today. Long, tough night. I've been having trouble sleeping, you all, about the last 3 weeks. And you know, I mean, it's just bad. I go to sleep pretty quick, then I'm up, then I go to sleep, then I'm back down, then I'm up. And it's just terrible. I mean, it's just like, you know, about an hour and change every time I sleep. And it's killing me. It's wearing me out. And it's just a tough night, painful on a lot of levels. But we're here, and that's really all that counts. I am hoping. Our guest was scheduled tonight is Cleber Lopez, a longtime friend of the program. And she's a former CIA analyst. She worked with Frank Gaffney at his think tank, and now she is the visionary woman behind Lopez Liberty. And I sent her the She may not make it. Okay, she just may not make it, but we're cool with it. She's supposed to call in about 10 minutes after, and I'm not seeing anything yet, so hopefully we will hear from her very soon. If not, there's always a plan B. We're ready to go. I hope you guys had a really good day today. Summertime. And living is easy. Fish are jumping. Cotton is high. Anyway, it's good to be here with you. A lot of things. Let me go to the pocket here. Gary, just hang tight, babe, because you might be needed. We'll see what's going on. My brother from another mother, the one and only Gary Binford. Next Monday, well, this coming Monday, the 26th. Excuse me, I had a highball before I came in here, just kind of settle my nerves. Anyway, Gary, next Monday, on coming up on United Patriots Uprising, this is huge, guys. He scored when we were down at Rock the Red a few weeks back, having a boss time and firing the gun and doing all kind of junk like that. He's got his head down and he snaked me, man. He got an interview with, I gave General Flynn orders, but General Flynn's going to give Gary an interview this Monday. General Michael T. Flynn, Lieutenant General Michael T. Flynn, is going to be on Gary Binford's United Patriots Uprising. I cannot encourage you enough. I cannot exhort you enough to tune in. This is going to be an awesome show. Massive. It's going to be huge. You understand? General Michael T. Flynn, Lieutenant General, interviewing with Gary Binford on United Patriots Uprising. And that's just, man, I am jacked up about that. That's going to be awesome. Well, I guess I better go to the pocket and figure out what the hell we're going to talk about. And there are some things to talk about. We've got a couple updates. We have an update, some hot news out of Fulton County on the audit that's taking place there from the election. Also, Maricopa County. And again, it's exciting stuff, but yet at the same time, we kind of got to go meh, because fundamentally, it is those things which we have suspected. Let's see. I think the first thing we'll do is we'll go with Tucker Carlson and what's going on in Fulton County, which is, I'm sure it's like every other place. And when all these other places, all these other dirty spots with these crooked election officials, when it comes, we're going to see the same thing. It's just so unbelievably crooked. And it's just so over the top. It's just so blatant. It's just so egregious. You know, we're just going to, I just don't know. Let's say, all right, well, let's get on with this. Here we go. Tucker Carlson last night with the update from the Fulton County election ballot audit.
In a warehouse, except it's not true. It now appears there actually was meaningful voter fraud in Fulton County, Georgia last November. That is not a conspiracy theory. It's true. From the beginning, this show has tried to be fact-based when we talk about the 2020 election results. So here's what we know tonight, factually. At least 36 batches of mail-in ballots from the November election were double-counted in Fulton County. That's a total of more than 4,000 votes. Those numbers come from a group called Voter GA, which, along with Bob Cheely, sued to get them. The final tally from the double counts we know about amounts to more than 3,300 votes for Joe Biden and 865 votes for Donald Trump. Now, before you dismiss Bob Cheely and Voter GA as dishonest partisan actors, keep in mind that the strongly left-of-center Atlanta Journal-Constitution appears to agree with this, at least in outline. The newspaper reviewed the available digital ballot images independently and concluded that hundreds of ballots were improperly duplicated. What does that look like exactly? Well, here's what it looks like. At a press conference yesterday, a consultant with Voter GA called David Cross showed how we can be certain that votes in Fulton County were counted more than once. Watch.
What I'm going to show you here is two ballots side by side. One of them is marked for Jason Shaw, and it's got a little squiggle mark next to it. You can see it's got the identical mark on the second one. And the ballot image is stored up here on the top left. So this one over here is scanner 5162, that's scanner number 3, batch number 235, image number 19. And that matches 234, image 59. So you have the same ballot counted twice in the images and counted in the audit. How that's possible, I don't know.
How's that possible? I don't know. Every American should want to know, because the answer gets to the heart of the integrity of our elections, otherwise known as our democracy. We're not talking about a couple of ballots here. We're talking about a lot of ballots, at least hundreds of ballots involved, enough potentially to affect the outcome of the election. Here's another example.
Here's one of the next ones. All right, so same batch, number 234, image number 2, and 235, image number 61, Republican, 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 all the way down to the point where this little spot up in Fannie Willis matches this one over here. So question that ballot was counted twice.
So what's the explanation for this? Well, if you ask Fulton County, these discrepancies, the ones you just saw on the screen, were isolated incidents, just a handful of bad ballots. Happens all the time. The county claims that any errors were caught in previous recounts. The problem is that neither one of those claims is true. Surveillance footage obtained by Voter GA appears to show large numbers of ballots being scanned multiple times. Pay attention in the tape we're showing you to the woman wearing yellow at the desk. According to Voter GA, she slides ballots into a scanning machine, removes the ballots, and then reinserts the same ballots. This happens multiple times. The question is, how many times were those ballots counted? Was each vote counted more than once? Fulton County won't answer that question. Now, one way to know the answer would be to check what are called audit tally sheets. Tellingly, for months after the presidential election, Fulton County failed to provide more than 100,000 of those tally sheets, including 50,000 of them for mail-in ballots. When Voter GA finally forced Fulton County to turn over the tally sheets, the conclusion was stunning. Here's what the audit found. Quote, 7 falsified audit tally sheets containing fabricated vote totals. For example, a batch containing 59 actual ballot images for Joe Biden and 42 for Donald Trump was reported as 100 for Biden and 0 for Trump. The 7 batches of ballot images with 554 votes for Joe Biden, 140 votes for Donald Trump, and 11 votes for Joe Jorgensen had tally sheets in the audit falsified to show 850 votes for Biden, 0 votes for Trump, and 0 votes for Jorgensen. Wait, did you just follow that? How is that not flat-out criminal fraud? We'd love to know, because it certainly sounds like flat-out criminal fraud. We've obtained photographs showing what went on during the recount process for mail-in ballots in Fulton County. These pictures were taken by a whistleblower who participated in the recount. She said she noticed something odd, as she did. None of the ballots that she saw had any creases on them. You can see the stacks of unfolded ballots on your screen now. That's strange because, of course, mail-in ballots need to be bent in order to be mailed in. These ballots clearly had never been inside an envelope. And then the whistleblower noticed something else. All of the ballots, the whistleblower tells us, have been filled out by a printer, not by hand. And many of them supported the exact same candidates, Democrats, including Joe Biden. Voter GA detected a series of other apparent irregularities in the recount. The group's audit found, for example, that, quote, over 200 Fulton County mail-in ballot images contained votes that were not included in the hand count audit results for the November election. Now, why is that? We don't know. Keep in mind, once again, the results in the state of Georgia were decided by fewer than 13,000 votes. It was a close race. Every vote mattered. And then there's this. An elections expert called Mark Davis analyzed data from the post office. He found that nearly 35,000 Georgia voters moved out of their county of residence more than a month prior to Election Day. They were ineligible to vote, and yet they did. They still voted in their old county. That is illegal. It's not a small thing. Violating election law is something we should care about. And by law, their votes should have been excluded from the total, but they were not excluded. Why are we okay with that? Why are we okay with any of this? Well, we're okay with it because we've been told we have to be okay with it. We're undermining democracy if we ask questions about what happened during the 2020 election. And of course, that's a perfect inversion of the truth. Without answers to legitimate questions like the ones we just posed, and those are legitimate questions, democracy dies. People begin to understand that the system they've been told is on the level is in fact rigged. And when they believe that, God knows what they do next. So let's find out what actually happened. Let's find out immediately. Let's find out without shame. It's our right to know. It's our responsibility to know. John Voight is one of the best-known actors in the world. We talked.
Well, we're not going to worry too much about what Johnny's got to say, although he is conservative. Okay, everywhere you go, every place you turn, what do we see? We see this kind of stuff. When they were in the stadium that night, the security video showed this stuff over and over, but it was poo-pooed. It was stuff and nonsense. The election officials and the people running this thing, they sit up straight, they clutch at their pearls, and they're shocked and appalled that anyone would even, have a modicum of suspicion that something sketchy was going on. And obviously something sketchy was going on. It was going on all over the country. It was going on in Atlanta. It was going on in Philadelphia. It was going on in New York. It was going on in Boston. It was going on in Detroit. It was going on in Los Angeles. It was going on in Kansas City. It was going everywhere Democrats are running the election process. You can bet your sweet bippy that it was going on. And just to keep, hammering on this nail, we're going to go ahead with another clip from, Maricopa County. And again, these people, how do we know that something is sketchy when we go to engage in these audits? At the people who, I got to say this, look at the people who fight it. Look at the people who were fighting the audit in New Hampshire. Look what the acting attorney general in Philadelphia did when they found, or in Pennsylvania did, when they found out that they were going to go ahead when the Republican majority legislature in Pennsylvania voted to go ahead and do an audit. I can't remember the name of the county, but it's where Philadelphia is located. The acting attorney general for the state of Pennsylvania sent a letter to election officials all over the state. Don't you dare. Why? Why? These people have been screaming bloody murder, and they've been screaming it for 100 years. Well, not 100 years, but with this thing here, they've been screaming this is the most amazingly fairest of all the fair, amazing, transparent elections in the history of all elections, period. Well, you don't mind if we check, do you? Oh, what? Are you? Can't you take our word? Didn't we just tell you these were the most transparently transparent, amazingly amazing elections in the history of amazingly transparent elections? Didn't we just say that? You don't need to look. I think maybe we better. And son of a, I guess I didn't load that baby up. I thought I had, but apparently I did not. That's okay though. We can talk about something else while I do load it up. That's exactly what we'll do. Maricopa update. Oh, 7, whatever today is, 1-5-2-1. Okay, let's go ahead and do that. We'll browse through and bring it up. Don't see Claire yet, and that's okay. We'll work through it, and we'll get her back on here. We're going to go through the update once we do that. Also, we want to talk about the have you guys seen the milk carton Democrats from Texas? Yeah, well, okay, a couple days ago, the Texas state legislature, in their attempts to try and rectify the situations in terms of voting irregularities and what they're going to have to do to counter that, and the regulations are going to have to be changed, they're getting ready to take a vote on it, and the Democrats in the Texas legislature board a chartered jet, no masks, and at least one case of Miller Lite, and they fly to D.C., where they are treated as heroes. Heroes, people. Excellent. Here we are. Okay, that didn't take long at all. Maybe I need to start uploading stuff when I'm on the air. That's the quickest I've ever pulled one. From Maricopa County on the Mike Broomhead Show, here's, I think her name is Deborah Fan, and she's going to be giving the report. Dr. Alexander was, or Dr. Kelly Ward must be busy doing something, so this lady's in charge. It's everything we thought it was, just like in Fulton County. Here we go.
And thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Mike.
So let's start with the count. You are counting ballots, not votes, but ballots. Is that beginning today? We heard it was going to begin today.
Yes, that is correct.
So this company, Clear Ballot, that offered to help with this, that offered to help in the first place, are they going to be a part of this? Any consideration to bring them in to do this, or are you going to have your people do it?
So Clear Ballot is not a part of this at this point. They have just this morning or yesterday actually reached out and said they would offer to set up a Zoom meeting to talk about their methodology of doing this. But let me back up and let you know exactly what this count is. We are finishing up, the vendor is finishing up what we call the aggregation, double-checking the spreadsheets against the blue tally sheets, against the scans they did on the ballots, because before we turn those ballots back to Maricopa County, they want to make sure that every one of those check and balances match before they start doing the analysis of all the data they received. And a question came up a couple of weeks ago from our attorney and said, so what if Maricopa County's ballots are count is X and the vendor's count is Y and we turn those ballots back, how do we know which one is really correct if there's a difference there? Because we won't have those possession of those ballots anymore. So that's when we said, let's get a couple of our own independent machines in, not Dominion's, separate ones, and do our own independent, and all we're doing is just counting the number of ballots. It's a paper counting machine is all it does.
So
that will help us give like a third check and balance to see if those numbers are closer to the vendor's numbers or Maricopa County's, or they all three could be right on target.
So was there a discrepancy between the numbers that the county said they had and the numbers that were counted by the Cyber Ninjas? Was there a discrepancy?
They haven't released a number yet, if you will. However, we do know that those numbers do not match with Maricopa County at this point.
Okay, let's talk about the Cyber Ninjas. I know you know that I've been critical of what's happened and what's become of this, and I want to give you a chance to defend this. Are you confident in the job that the Cyber Ninjas did?
Yes, I am. And I'm confident because it's not just them. Everybody keeps just touting on them when actually they are working with a number of other contractors that have experience in audits and in their expertise in their own field. So this is a joint effort. This is why it was so difficult to come up with somebody, because there is no companies out there certified to do forensic election audits. This is the first of its kind. And despite all of the hurdles, I mean, Maricopa County has not cooperated at all. They still haven't turned over things that they were supposed to in the subpoena. They have done everything in their power to try and stop this. Then we have, of course, Katie Hobbs, Adrian Fontes, the Democrat Party, that has done everything in their ability to try and stop us, taking us to court, suing us over things. It's been a difficult challenge, but we are persevering on this.
And so let me lay a case out for you, and I want to give you all the time you want to clarify. We talked about the beginning of this with the reporter being in the Coliseum 4 days in a row without being stopped. We've talked about the pens and the mistakes that were made with the wrong colored pens. We've had multiple people on the floor with cell phones when cell phones weren't supposed to be on the floor. The documentary crew that was there and the documentary crew being allowed into the cage where the ballots were. Now, I know the ballots boxes were closed, but they were allowed into that secure area. Do you understand, with all those things being said, that there are some people – now, you and I have been on the same side of the aisle on so many things, but do you understand when people say that we have big concerns about the way this was done? There was a Republican, I believe, in Pima County that's a ballot audit expert that's been doing it for over 10 years that said there is a 0% chance that there's going to be accuracy in this from the Cyber Ninjas. How do you respond to all of those accusations and complaints?
Well, first of all, because all you guys are hearing is the negative spin that is being put out by the media right now. And you're not hearing all the positive things. You're not hearing about the true accuracy of all the security that was gone. Why is the documentary team there? That's because they were actually documenting and filming all of those ballot boxes, because every one of those boxes, through the 24/7 monitoring, the cameras over the ballots, all of those are documenting every single movement that is made, because we know when it's all said and done, we're just going to get trashed again. And we want to be able to say, if we find problems, and I say if we find problems, we need to back it up 6 ways from Sunday. And that means that every one of all of, I mean, they have, I don't know how many terabytes of data that they have already gathered on this one. So do I think that it's gone as smoothly as it could have? Heck no. This is the first time in the history of our nation that anybody has done an audit of this magnitude. And so, quite honestly, we are doing a lot of things, triple checking, just to make sure that this is all correct, because this will be what other states are going to look for in the future. If anybody else does an audit, they're going to say, okay, what was the most efficient way to do it? But I'm going back to the original deal. Remember, we never wanted these ballots or the machines moved at all to begin with. Maricopa County said that they would do an audit with us. They backed out of it, which is why now we had to go through all of this expense and the turmoil of having to go through all of this, because Maricopa County is not cooperating with us any way whatsoever.
Why would Maricopa County, with all of the Republicans that have been, again, same as you and I, have been on that side of the aisle on the same side of so many issues, why would the Republicans and the County Board of Supervisors try to stop you from doing this if they didn't think they had a legitimate reason? What do you think their plan was?
So the question is why wouldn't they do it? When the polling, High Ground did a polling showing that 45% of our voters, not just Republican voters, voters in Arizona, think that there are serious problems or fraud within our electoral system. A lot of this was a direct result of some of the shenanigans that Adrian Fontes had been trying to do in the last couple of elections. You know, the marking, the Xing out your ballot and doing another one, trying to push to just send ballots to everybody, regardless whether you were on the voter rolls or not. It was so bad that two and a half years ago, the Board of Supervisors actually hired somebody to oversee Adrian Fontes because they didn't trust him. So why wouldn't we want to say, let's do a double check to make sure that our procedures are correct, that Adrian Fontes actually followed the laws, followed the rules, as did anybody else. I'm not necessarily picking on him, but he's the one that was in charge. He's the one that was trying to do some of this funny business. So why wouldn't we want to look at it just to make sure that our electoral system is safe and secure? What is more sacred to the American public other than our religious beliefs and our Second Amendment right to defend ourselves? Isn't election integrity right up there with those as well?
I agree, absolutely. And that's why, didn't the county, in all fairness, didn't the county do a hand count? And then wasn't there also an audit done by two separate companies of the hardware and software, the Dominion machines, that they said came back without any fraud? So much so that even now the new county recorder, who is Stephen Richer, who is a staunch Republican and was a Trump supporter, said that the elections were done the right way. Why was that not good enough?
Okay, so first of all, you talk about Maricopa County doing a hand count. They did a very small amount. If you remember, this was an extremely tight race. They also pre-picked which boxes they were going to do the hand count out. So, and from the beginning, I kept asking those guys, I said, let's do a much bigger one. Let's get in front of this, because we can see there's a lot of people that have questions. Let's help solve those answers. Let's try and get those for the people. And originally they said, yep, we're behind you, Karen. We're going to do this 100%. Then all of a sudden they go into executive session and change their tune. They also agreed to do a forensic audit. When they went into executive session, they, oh yeah, we're going to do an audit and we're going to do two, but we're going to go with ProBNB and SLI. Neither one of those firms are forensic audit companies. They are companies that are authorized by the federal government to certify machines. And okay, One of them was the one that certified the machines to begin with. So they went back on their word there about not doing a forensic. They hired two companies that basically certify the machines. SLI, when I tried to talk to them and said, you know, tell me if you're going to do more, they refused to talk to me. They said, we work for Maricopa County. We're not talking to you or anybody else.
All right.
So we have those issues there. When we talk about Stephen Richer, I don't know him personally, but he was not even the recorder. So how does he even know whether Adrian Fontes conducted this election correctly or not? I would think that Mr. Richard would be on board with this and saying, you know what, I'm starting over. Remember, Mr. Richard, when he ran on the premise that Mr. Fontes was doing some unusual things, if you will. So why is it when he ran, he was all over Adrian Fontes about maybe not doing everything exactly right, and now all of a sudden he's siding with the Board of Supervisors saying, oh, nothing to see here. Why is that?
That's a good question. One last question, because I'm just about out of time. You mentioned before that there was a discrepancy in the count between what the county said they had and what Cyber Ninjas and the other contractors counted. Do you know how off that is? What is the number that they're off?
I do not know. They have not told me the number.
Okay.
I do not know.
Well, Senator, I always appreciate the conversation. I always appreciate your willingness to come on and talk about this, and I hope you'll do it again.
I will be glad to. Thank you, Mike.
All right.
Appreciate the opportunity.
All right. Thanks, Senator. That is Senator Karen Fann, Senate President here in the state.
Okay. Again, what we're seeing it everywhere. We're seeing it in Fulton County. We're seeing it in Maricopa County. We're going to see it in Philadelphia. We're going to see it in New Hampshire. All these things, all this anecdotal evidence, all this circumstantial stuff that we've seen is coming to pass because our eyes do not deceive us. We know what we saw, and what we saw was cheating. Democrats are up to their necks in cheating. They've been doing it at least since the Kennedy administration when Chicago delivered for old man Joe and put Jack in the White House. But the problem, even with all this evidence, and it's going to mount, and you know, this is going to take years to sort through. Joe Biden will have gone into memory care long before they come to any conclusions on this. He probably won't even remember he was president. My biggest beef with these things is, yes, you're confirming what we know. You're confirming our suspicions. These are the things we know to be true. And then nothing damn happens. Nothing ever damn happens. All that stuff that went on with the FBI and the one guy got 3 months or something. It was a suspended sentence or community service. One guy, Kleinsmith was his name, Mike Kleinsmith. He was an FBI lawyer who intentionally changed some words in an interview. That's all. That's all that's happened. You got an institution, a formerly honorable and fundamentally venerable institution, as the Federal Bureau of Investigation, man, and it's nothing. It's hacks. And it's not just the upper levels because there are guys carrying out these instructions. But nothing happens to anybody. My biggest beef, we're in for a treat, ladies and gentlemen. It was a little misunderstanding on my part. I did not realize that Claire was going to call in when she did. I thought she was going to be calling in a little sooner, but she is here with us now, former CIA analyst. She worked with Frank Gaffney at his fine organization, and now she has her own called Lopez Liberty, which I am very happy to be a recipient of updates from it. And we're going to go ahead and bring her up right now. A remarkably intelligent woman, a good friend of the program, and somebody we just love talking with no matter what, Claire Lopez. Claire, welcome back. It's good to have you with us.
Well, thank you very much. So glad to be with you, and apologies for chiming in a bit late here.
It's all right. We're glad to have you. You know, last couple of days have seen some remarkable events, at least for Cuba, in that people all over the country are rising up, and they're sick of 62 years of communist oppression and tyranny and lies and poverty and a restriction of freedoms and murders and imprisonments and tortures. They've had it. And they're speaking up. We see it. Again, these are things we see because our eyes work just as fine as those in the White House. People in the White House say, well, yeah, I think this is really more along the lines of they're really ticked off about COVID. They're not really upset about communism as much as they're upset about how communism has handled the pandemic. And with that, I'm just going to hand off the ball to you, and I am going to let you run.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you. I will say that listening to Jen Psaki today, the White House spokesperson, she finally actually did mention the word communism in her remarks today. It seems, though, that up until now, there's been a real reluctance to acknowledge even that these Cuban people in the streets are protesting exactly about a communist system that inevitably, wherever it's enforced and wherever it's instituted, you know, Stalin's Russia, Mao's China, Kim's North Korea, Hugo Chavez, now Nicolas Maduro's Venezuela, or Cuba. Communism brings misery to people. Why? Because it doesn't work. It just doesn't work, and it's never meant to work. Communism is a system designed for elites to seize power and to rule and to dominate over the masses of the people who do not count, no matter what they tell you ahead of time. So, yeah, this past weekend, now it's, good 5 days ago, beginning last
right.
Sunday, the 11th of July, here we are, 2021, people began pouring into the streets of Cuba. And this is a very unusual thing to happen in Cuba just because it is such a draconian police state. But they've had it, just as you just said. They've had it up to there. They're starving. A communist system never, ever is capable of providing adequate food, goods, electricity in the middle of the summer right now, housing or anything else. And so for the last 60-plus years, the Cuban people, who are dynamic, entrepreneurial, hardworking, you know, anything you can say when you see them here in the United States, consistently their success stories. But there, after 60-something years of communist rule, they are starving. They're starving. And if you look at actual, you know, photos, current-day photos of even Havana, the capital city of Cuba, never mind out in the provinces, the place is a wreck. The buildings are falling apart. The cars on the streets date from, I don't think there's anything newer than the 1960s that I've seen. And they don't have the electricity for, you know, air conditioning or anything else. Here we are in the middle of July. So, yeah, they poured into the streets because they finally just had it. And the regime typically cracked down hard. We saw images of the security forces in the streets beating people, arresting people. But then the regime turned off the internet and denied the people the ability to, you know, transmit any images or accounts of what's really going on. So it's a little bit difficult right now to learn what's happening. But from the bits and pieces that are coming out, it seems that the people are continuing to protest.
And you know, the thing of it is we see very clearly with our eyes the things before us, but at the same time, too, in cutting off the internet, we see pretty clearly why and what the motivation would be behind that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll say that a good number of United States representatives, both congressional members and senators, in particular, I would say led by Senator Mark Rubio Marco Rubio from down in Florida, but others too. They've suggested things like, shouldn't or couldn't the United States provide, you know, direct satellite access to people in Cuba so they could bypass the jamming, so they could bypass the restrictions on transmission. That would be one way of helping them. That's, you know, perfectly nonviolent or even non-military, but it would give them the communication, you know, the ability to get the images out. But so far, you know, the best we can get is like about a single word of communism out of Jen Psaki. I don't think we've had even yet an actual direct statement from Joe Biden himself, personally. He hasn't yet spoken out, as far as I know, unless I've missed it.
Well, most likely they haven't told him what his thoughts are on this. And
yeah, they're still
they're probably sitting around wondering, yeah, you know, why haven't the Disney people perfected that animatronic, Joe Biden, so we won't have to do this anymore. You said something earlier, and it reminded me of our friend, by the way, Michael Cutler sends his regards.
Oh, thank you.
I had talked to him earlier, and I told him that, you know, you were going to be on the show, and he wanted to make sure that I remembered him to you. You said, and I never really thought about this, and it was something similar in a not necessarily related institution that Mike said. Communism is not designed to be successful. Communism is designed to fail. And Cutler takes that perspective in terms of our unbelievably screwed up immigration system. And
well, yeah, that's been his real focus for many years. He's one of this country's real experts on
the best
subject of immigration. Absolutely. But when you think about it, superficially, people might look at the system of free market capitalism and say, oh, that's cutthroat. That's too difficult for people, and it's unequal in its outcomes. And well, yeah.
Right.
The reason that capitalism works is because it harnesses human nature. And what is human nature? Human nature is acquisitive and, yes, greedy.
Right.
But if you harness that system within regulations, appropriate regulations, you get a whole bunch of people, yes, maybe going into business for themselves and their families or, you know, close friends around them. But you get millions of people doing that, you know, trying to go into business for themselves, and it works out. It works out to the benefit of the entire society. And a competitive system also works to the benefit of society because it allows the best and the brightest to rise to the top. Now, yes, of course, there needs to be a security net of some kind for those who are less fortunate, struck by misfortune, and so forth. But that's why capitalism works, because it harnesses what is innate, unchangeable, immutable human nature. And communism, on the other hand, while it sounds great, well, we'll just give to everybody what they need and from each, you know, according to his abilities. And yeah, right, except that that's not what happens. If you tell people it doesn't matter how hard you work, you're going to get the same thing as the guy next door to you, and he's not working at all. But, you know, we feel sorry for him, so we're just going to make up the difference to him. What's going to happen? The guy who doesn't work is never going to work. I mean, we can see that right now, can't we, with government handouts, extra unemployment
exactly.
benefits, right? And the guy who used to be ambitious and work hard, well, he's not going to work hard anymore because why? They're just going to tax it away from him and give it to the other guy. So what happens is that the society then, as we can certainly see current day in Venezuela, spirals downward and downward economically to the point that literally people are starving because nobody's working anymore. Nobody's producing anything anymore. And they flee the country by the millions.
And no one ever says this, and there is no other economic system I know of that has brought more people out of poverty and into the various levels of prosperity than capitalism, free market capitalism. Nothing else works that well.
Absolutely true. And again, communism is really not about the economics of the thing. I mean, I've described how inefficient it is, economically speaking, but what communism actually is about is the seizure and the domination of a people, of a country, by an elite who seize that power, hold that power, and dominate the rest of society. And the elite live fabulously well, the rest not so much. That's what it's about. It's about seizing power. It's really not about economics.
And what we're going to see... there are times when I get a little concerned, and there are times when I feel a little bit discouraged. But for the most part, overall, what we see is a in terms of, how can I say this, in contrast to the rest of the country, those people that we see that are advocating this insanity here in the United States is a remarkably small number. However, they are very strategically placed in institutions where they can affect a great deal of damage and move us towards this horrible system. I'm talking about the college and university systems, the print and electronic media, Hollywood, so many places in our culture. I'm looking the other day, and this is a little bit more global, in the kowtowing to communist China on Breitbart, Jackie Chan, one of my action movie heroes, says and proclaims to all the world, I want to be a communist. And I'm looking at and I'm thinking, too many shots to the head, Jack. Too many stunts gone wrong, buddy.
Well, no. I mean, think about this. He wants to be a communist, but he wants to be one of the guys up on the parapet overlooking Red Square for the annual parade.
Right.
He doesn't want to be one of the people down in the basement of the Lubyanka, right?
Nobody does.
it's about the seizure of power and the domination of power in a society by a very small elite that dominate and live very, very well. But to your comment there about the domination of the institutions, I'm sure many of your listeners and you have heard about Antonio Gramsci, the Italian communist.
Yes, yes.
Who wrote a whole series of notebooks while he was in jail in Italy. And it is at least ascribed to him. I'm not positive the term comes from him, but it's ascribed to him, the long march through the institutions, right? And
right.
If you go to a book like the one called The Naked Communist, written by a former FBI agent named W. Cleon Skousen, published in 1958, you see there is a chapter 13 in there that is called The 45 Goals of Communism Today. That was back in 1958. And those 45 goals enumerate what would be Antonio Gramsci's list of institutions and what you just named as well. And that would be academia, of course, faith communities, the government at every level, the media. Back then, no social media, but today including social media too. Popular culture, certainly, the movies, the film, TV, and society in general. Those are the institutions, and strategically, communists, Marxists in our society, per that list, have focused on the domination of those institutions, and largely, by and large, they've succeeded in stealing quite a march on us, a long march through the institutions, that we're in a place right now where we have to work to gain back influence, proper republic, constitutional republic influence over those institutions.
And another little known fact here, when you speak about the Gramscian theory, the world's foremost expert on Antonio Gramsci is Pete Buttigieg's father, and Pete Buttigieg is our Secretary of Transportation. This show, he translated all of Gramsci's works into English, and if this isn't indicative of just how much of an apology we owe Joe McCarthy, I don't know what is.
I agree with you 100%, and if we listen to someone like a dear friend and real mentor for me, Trevor Loudon, whom your listeners may be familiar with.
Absolutely.
I would say that he, although born in New Zealand, a Kiwi, living here in the United States now, of course, but probably understands better than anyone else and teaches the rest of us through his videos, books also,
right.
About the deep penetration of our institutions, and in particular, you mentioned Pete Buttigieg and his father. But in the political realm, meaning, for example, the Democratic Socialists of America, which is essentially the Communist Party that dominates the Democrat Party today. Trevor Loudon can cite you chapter, line, and verse names much as Joe McCarthy might have done if they just would have let him finish the job, of those compromised by allegiance to communism and Marxist tenets. And, you know, we don't just mean Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. We mean a whole bunch of other people.
And it's it yeah, well it, yeah in his book Reds in the White House, which is his latest one, and I read it twice, and if you take a look at that and all of the information, because it's practically a Bible of information in Enemies Within, which was about 700, you know, it's a huge book, and this has gone on since the 1930s. This has gone on, well, even I guess with the inception of the Comintern. And bringing you know the Communist International programs here to the United States, and this means to me that in 80 years, these guys have got a pretty solid hold in the upper corridors of power in the federal government.
They do, and again, it's not just the federal government, that being just one of those many institutions, but as we look around us, of course, certainly academia, where I would say it probably got its first foothold. In the 30s, just as you say, with the Frankfurt School, when it came over, you know, a few years
right.
after the 1917 revolution in Russia and the seizure of power by Lenin and the Bolsheviks. But the first institution of ours that was targeted, indeed, was academia. And the first home away from home, if you will, for the Frankfurt School was Columbia University in New York. And from there, and those leftist Marxist faculty lounges, it spread elsewhere. I mean, once you, you know, number 17 of the 45 goals of communism in that book, the Naked Communist, number 17 is get control of the schools, get control of the textbooks, the curriculum, get control of the teachers' associations. And that is indeed where they focused first and most intensively to this day. On down, you know, decades later, and we're watching critical race theory and other such teachings in our schools. But then it did spread out to the other institutions that we've talked about.
And I was just looking through this. And number 15 in that list, capture one or both political parties in the United States. There they are. They've got it.
Check. You know, I don't even know if it's an or anymore. I think it might be an and. you know, given what we have, with certain notable exceptions, we do acknowledge that there are some very, very good exceptions. But other than that, it's a uniparty. Many of us call it that, a uniparty.
Right. And it's George Wallace once said you could take a half a dozen Democrats from D.C. and a half a dozen Republicans, put them in a bag, shake them up, pull one out, and there's not a dime's difference between any of them. And that's what we see. And that's what we see.
We do.
We've only got about 7 minutes left, Claire. If you would, you know, we talked earlier, I wanted you to see if I could get you to maybe touch upon a little bit about the red-green axis that's happening and just how real that, just how existential that threat is to our liberties.
Sure. Right. So this flows very, very smoothly from the discussion we're just having now. And so when I call it the red, black, green axis, red would stand for the communists, the Marxists, Bolsheviks, et cetera, and would certainly include the ranks of the Democratic Socialist Party with Democratic Socialists of America within the Democrat Party. It would include Antifa, which gets mischaracterized all the time as some sort of fascism. No, it's not fascism. Fascism died with the Third Reich 75 years ago. Antifa is Antifa, anti-fascist. In German, Antifascistische Aktion was its original name. The black stands for the Black Lives Matter movement, and that, of course, is Marxist in origin as well, but it's also Maoist. More currently, I would say the leadership of global communism has shifted to Beijing and the Chinese Communist Party, not to negate what is going on in Moscow or with Putin, but that the leadership, the real overall leadership of communism in the world today has shifted to Beijing. And then the green of the axis, of course, standing for Islam and the Worldwide Islamic Movement. That's what they call themselves. That's their term for themselves, Islamic Movement. And here in the United States, the vanguard of the Islamic Movement, of course, is the Muslim Brotherhood and its many different front groups. And interestingly, I think maybe people don't always realize this, but the Muslim Brotherhood front groups in particular, CAIR, but others as well, CAIR, C-A-I-R, Council on American Islamic Relations, which is the United States branch of Hamas, foreign terrorist organizations list, but it is also itself Hamas, the Palestinian Gaza branch of the Muslim Brotherhood. But anyway, those front groups of the Muslim Brotherhood here in the U.S. are working very closely with the Black Lives Matter movement, as is the Chinese Communist Party. So it all comes together sort of in that middle part of the Black Lives Matter movement, because they also train and hit the streets together with Antifa. So it is indeed an axis in any case.
And when you make that point, and you're right, I think that the vanguard of advancing of advocating communism is definitely coming from Xi Jinping in Beijing, and as they have worked to establish this hegemony, it's expanded far beyond either side, either shore of the Pacific Ocean, and they're making inroads into Africa and other countries as well with the Belt and Road Initiative. And they're giving all these countries this money that there's no way on earth they're going to pay back. And they're putting in place the second and third rate infrastructure that's probably not going to last longer than the loan dates. And these countries are going to be indebted to China. And that's how China is going to be establishing greater spheres of influence throughout the world.
Well, they are indeed, and we can talk some more, maybe a whole other program on the Belt and Road Initiative, the China-Pakistan Economic Corridor that's part of that, the extension of Chinese influence into our own hemisphere, the Western Hemisphere, the Caribbean, South America. But I also want to highlight its entry, its very likely aggressive entry into Afghanistan as we pull out. Afghanistan, folks may know, has quite a lot of rare earth minerals, rare earth elements, sometimes called, that are very valuable and necessary for a lot of modern technology, have not been mined or exploited, but China knows they're there and they're going after them. So I'll mention Afghanistan, but I would bring it back home as we conclude up here. I know we only have a few minutes left, but
right.
I would bring it back home to the United States because this is what we care about the most. And indeed, I'll tell you this story real quick. China used to have an embassy in Washington, D.C., the United Nations mission in New York, and five other consulates around the country in New York, in Houston, Chicago, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Well, you may remember that back in the middle of 2020, then Secretary of State Mike Pompeo closed the Chinese Houston consulate. And he said it was because of espionage and intellectual property theft, and that's certainly true. But if that is those are the only reasons, then why did the other four consulates remain open as they have? Well, the reason is that they were doing other things in Houston. What they were doing is that the Chinese Communist Party sent a contingent of the PLA, People's Liberation Army, to Houston undercover at the embassy to compile a list using artificial intelligence and data mining techniques of Americans they thought would be susceptible to messaging about revolution in the streets, protests, rioting, Antifa, and BLM. They compiled the list, and then they made little TikTok videos. By the way, TikTok, don't ever, ever click on a TikTok video. That is an AI data mining collection platform of the CCP. They used TikTok videos to shoot them out to those Americans they previously identified, showing them in the videos how to stage street protests, demonstrations, and riots directly on U.S. soil. Talk about interference in our elections, huh?
And nobody says a word. I mean, the media doesn't say anything. It would seem to me, though, and there seems to be a school of thought that maybe – It could be an explanation, and you could tell me if I'm wrong or not, but you would know, that this sudden rush of aggressive behavior by China, either geographically or economically, would this also be an indication of, how can I say this, of China's own economic frailty because they're rushing out there to try and collect as many of these natural resources and property accumulation?
You're not wrong at all. Yeah. People look at China as a very huge country, geographically speaking. It's enormous, but it is not either agriculturally rich or rich in natural resources, whether that be oil and gas or those rare earth elements. They don't, you would think they would, but they don't. They don't have a lot of any of that. And so, yeah, they try to enter into and dominate spaces from which they can acquire such things, which is why, for example, they've made this this humongous multi-billion-dollar 25-year-long deal with the Islamic Republic of Iran to get oil, and in return, they get to extend the Belt and Road Initiative all the way westward to the Persian Gulf.
Claire, we've blistered through this half hour. Next time you come on, I think I'm going to have you stay the entire time. We may have to go to Michael Cutler style. We'll have to go with Michael Cutler style, and I have to put you on a two-hour show.
Oh, boy.
Thank you so much.
Gladly. Yeah.
Before you leave, and once again, thank you for being so gracious with your time. If you could tell folks how they can find out more about Lopez Liberty and what you're doing before we leave, I think that would be awesome.
Right. Well, thank you. So I do not yet have a website. I am independent right now. And you can find my videos and writing and things at various places, to include the Citizens Commission on National Security, Front Page Magazine, a project of the David Horowitz Freedom Center, Jamie Glazoff and the Glazoff Gang, on the United West, and also at the American Truth Project, where, by the way, if you would like to hear more about that, you can text Lopez, my name, L-O-P-E-Z, to the number 88202, and that will get you signed up for free for, won't overwhelm you, just a couple of weeks of the information and my pieces and bits from the American Truth Project.
Claire Lopez, someone I enjoy talking with almost as much as Mike Cutler, and I'll tell you why, because I get to talk with you.
Thank you. I know what you mean.
I love Mike. He's a great guy, and he makes for easy radio. Thank you so much for being with us, Claire. It's not going to be nearly as long before you come back again. Lopez Liberty, you guys check that out. Claire Lopez, thank you so much, Claire. I appreciate it tremendously, and I look forward to having you back soon. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too.
Oh, awesome stuff, man. She is so smart. She's driving me. Anyway, that's all the time we've gotten. We've cut into Guapo's time. He's got a terrific show coming up. I'm going to go ahead and pull him up now. Mark Hoffman has got some tremendous news, some great stuff happening with Patriot Nation Radio, and I'm not going to say anything else. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, my wingman, and I wouldn't want to have anybody else there, Mark Hoffman. Mark, have a terrific show.
Thanks so much, James. Ladies and gentlemen, that was A Conservative's Perspective with James Bostic, heard two nights a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, 7 p.m. Eastern, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. Good to go. You can find it. Hey, we reached a milestone. James, now you got to – James, turn your mic on hot real fast, because you got to come in real fast, James.
Okay, I'm here.
I'm going to bring Kevin in right now real fast, too. Kev, don't say nothing yet. But yesterday we reached a milestone with the first episode of our first new show. It was the 1,000th episode on the Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Oh, are you kidding me?
1,000 shows. So there
that
you go, Kev.
Unbelievable.
Your show was show 1,000. It's a new milestone.
Incredible.
We are watching out, folks.
And who was it that we bring in to do it?
That was
the mechanic. That's who we bring in to straighten this out. The mechanic.
of the American Allegiance with Kevin White. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I want to stop talking about this. Thanks a lot, James.
That was awesome. Take care, Mark. Have a terrific show. There we go.
And Gary, if you're listening, maybe you can chime in for a second, too, because I wanted you to make an – if you can make an announcement about what's coming up, I want you to call in and make an announcement. I'm not going to announce Gary's announcement. I'm not stealing his thunder, but he's got something big coming up. Hey, Bill Muckler's watching. Welcome to the live feed. Bill Muckler, you want to research him, and he's got a vision for America, 2020 vision for America. He's got a couple of books out. He's got part two out. He's doing great things. That's Bill Muckler. Search him out on Facebook. Get yourself a copy today. You know what I mean? He's a good friend. He's come on the show many, many times. And an old friend, Kenneth Jennings, is watching. Welcome to the show. You might remember him from the long-running show Jeopardy. Just kidding. No, he's a good old friend of ours from back in the day, way back in the day. So the first new show we have on, we have two new shows, ladies and gentlemen, coming to the Patriot Nation Radio Network, and you heard it here just now, the 1,000th episode, a new milestone for the Patriot Nation Radio Network, 1,000 shows, and author Kevin White, host of American Allegiance, was the host. Welcome to the show, Kev.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hoffman. Mark Hoffman, thank you for allowing me to be part of your team. I really appreciate it, and I had so much fun last night. Despite things that happened on the side, it was awesome.
Yeah, and I got to do this real fast. Hold on. Boom.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
And, of course, folks, usually I do my top-of-the-hour break. DaveBrayUSA.com, music on a mission, storytelling editions out now, good merchandise, everything you need. Dave Bray is there, DaveBrayUSA.com, and, of course, LibertyRush.com, social media without the libtarded rhetoric. That's my friend Rob. He hates when I say that. All right, so we're back with Kevin White. All right, so we're gonna get Kevin to introduce himself to the Patriot Nation Radio listenership. Second appearance on the network. He had his own show yesterday. It was amazing. What a great job. I'm proud to have this great expansion taking place here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network and some excellent hosts. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll have our second show and our second host of the new show. So Kevin's show is Wednesdays at 7 p.m. from 7 to 8 p.m. And hey, there's Ed Gonzalez in the live feed. From 7 to 8 p.m., and it's going to be a solid hour about constitutional issues. But first, let's meet Kevin White. First of all, I came across Kevin. He put out a book. And so tell us a little bit about the book and how you came to writing that book, you know, how you grew up. And I'm sure growing up led to writing that book. Some of the passages from that book were obviously, you know, are obviously from growing up. And so go ahead and tell folks a little bit about Kevin White, and then we'll talk about American Allegiance.
Yeah, see, Kevin White, that's my name. I played that with the book, my last name, White, growing up White, just to give an emphasis on what we're talking about, because I'm considered to be an Oreo, black on the outside, white on the inside. So my book probably took about 11 years to write. I finally got serious about it in 2019 after an auto accident. A lot of things I couldn't do, but I sat down and I started fleshing out more words and experiences of my autobiography. Growing up white was my life as somebody who didn't fit into the white culture or black culture. After my dad retired from the Air Force, the civilian world and the public is not the same as what, you know, military kids are. And there was a very big division between whites and blacks when I went to school. And I wasn't black enough for the black kids, and I wasn't white enough for the white kids. So it's a culture of its own. A lot of people have this problem. For some of them, it's very depressing because they don't fit in anywhere. And that's an issue. That's a social issue. And we are actually the minorities that the minorities rail against. So You have blacks saying, you know, you're not down for the cause, and the whites at the time, and I'm talking about in the 70s and 80s, didn't accept you fully into their communities and everything. And we lived in an all-white neighborhood when my dad retired, and we had trouble, you know, fitting in. Everybody thought we were the blacks from the hood, only because you get stereotyped, and as I say in the book, mostly by whites, that you're an average black person. And I'm talking years ago, though, and by the blacks, you're not black enough. As soon as I start talking, it's over. I don't have the right clothes. I don't have the right hair. I just don't fit in, and I'm not living in the right neighborhood, so I've sold out. I've heard that so many times in my life, even today. Why are you living there? Why are you doing this? Why are you keeping this clean or whatever? Because it's all about, if you don't conform to the black community the way they want you to, this is not everybody.
How dare you not stand on the corner and sell crack in the middle of the night with your handgun in Chicago on the south side?
Right. Exactly. Well, it's more like, if you don't conform to the beliefs and the things like what blacks believe in and what they stand for, then you're not really black. And what Biden said last year is actually what I hear, because you're doing this, but you're supposed to be doing this. How come you don't live here? You don't like that? You don't know the music? I listen to rock and roll, and I listen to Journey and things like that. I didn't listen to what I was supposed to, so I don't know the music from that era. I even have people.
You see my little drum session in our chat the other day?
Yes, I did.
All over the place. I like Motown, funk, blues, heavy metal, hard rock, rock and roll, disco. I mean, Mozart, Bach, Beethoven, you know, huge choir.
Same here, right? I like that too. And in my book, I tell you, my favorite guy of all time, singer, was Barry Manilow. So that doesn't fit in anywhere.
And special thing. I should not sing. That's why I don't sing. That's why I talk.
I don't either. I can't sing. I can't dance. I can't do anything. I have no rhythm at all.
I get behind the drums and I act like I can play them. I'm teaching myself. I got this drum set from my son a few years ago for Christmas. He don't play it. I'm like, well, I'm going to play it. I've been teaching myself.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong. But so the analogy I use, the analogy I use, this is very effective, is I was like the Banks family on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. You know, the real blacks were the cool guys that sometimes they got in trouble, but it was always, you know, the Banks family that was wrong for leaving their roots and for being successful. And they were punished for it on the show, every single show. And the cool guys that were the real black people, you know, notice I said real black people, they're the ones who are the heroes.
They came from West Philadelphia, born and raised.
Yes. Yes. But they used to shame the Bankses because they were wealthy and successful, and they didn't follow, you know, what the other
kids
look
how they made Carlton out to be, you know. They made Carlton out to be this dorky, like, geek, nerd guy, you know. And Will,
he's
from West Philadelphia. He's all cool. He's bad. He's a chick magnet, blah, blah, blah.
I grew up Carlton Banks, but I could not do the dance moves he does. That was me. I was so geeky, you know, and my dad is from the country. My dad, you know, and mom, they grew up, you know, in hills of West Virginia near Ohio, so the border. So they didn't have that culture either. So they didn't. That's the one reason why when we moved back here, we didn't want to move into the neighborhood, into the hood, the West Philadelphia type thing.
Right.
Because they were used to that. They wanted to live out in the country somewhere, but I never fit in. I mean, everything was like, even the white kids were different off base, because on base, if you, your parents or somebody, if somebody's racist, the commander came to see your dad where it was in, and it was pretty serious. So we didn't have any of these issues and divisions. Everybody was, you know, one big neighborhood of kids, and that's the way it should be. They shouldn't look at your color first and then judge you from that. And that's what this book is about. It's all about people, first sight, make a decision. This guy, he's black, so I have to act like this. So I go to places and like Best Buy, I want to go in here and buy something. The guy changes, the salesman changes his attitude and says, hey, bro, how can I help you? What's up, man? I heard that so many times. I don't talk like that. That's not me.
Right.
I can't, just treat me like a customer. Don't treat me like a black customer, like you think I should be treated.
Right.
And so
people are so stereotypical too, you know what I mean? That's what it is everybody's expecting a stereotypical, atypical,
yes,
you know, person because of and to me, that's like one of the most racist things that can happen.
Yes, it is. Yes,
is
sir.
That people, because you have black skin or brown skin or white skin, you should, if you're a white guy, you should listen to rock and roll and drink beer and watch football and NASCAR.
Yes.
And listen to
not malt liquor, beer.
Right.
So, yeah, and you know, the media, they emphasize all these stereotypes and they reinforce them and all the movies and everything that don't do us justice. You know, that's, it's all, and the people expect you to go, you know, carry the stereo on your shoulder. The whole thing is just, I mean, it pins you down to something that you're not. And I always resisted that. Like, one of my special powers is I can call somebody on the phone and they think I'm white. So when I show up or they show up, they're surprised. That happened today. We had an outing at work. And one of the engineers I was talking to, I met him at the park at the picnic. And I said, hey, how are you doing? We talked about this before. Oh, you must be Kevin White. He thought I was a white guy. So
right.
That happens a lot. It's not a problem or anything, but they're just surprised.
Right.
Because I'm supposed to sound like something else. That's why.
And that's racist, too, for crying out loud. You know?
But anyway, that's enough about me, about my book.
Where can folks get the book? Is it on Amazon? Is it bookstores?
Yes, it is. It's on Amazon. It's called Growing Up White, An Oreo's Guide to Fitting In. It's actually, there's two versions of it out. One's illustrated, one is not. And they sell for $9.99.
There you go, folks. So you go to Amazon and get that book. Get it today. And now let's talk about American Allegiance with Kevin White on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Ladies and gentlemen, heard Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. So let's talk about the show. Last night was your first show. It was show 1,000 for the Patriot Nation Radio Network. So
yeah,
we're very proud for that milestone. That's incredible. So let's talk about American Allegiance. What is your premise and your idea moving forward from show one on American Allegiance, Kevin Hart?
Well, those
Kevin
little
White,
things.
Kevin Hart, the
yes.
Wrestler.
Kevin Black. So I have a very broad perspective. Because I live the life, I have the quadruple experience. I was a military brat. I was in the military. I retired from the federal government. Now I'm a contractor. I've seen
right.
What happens and how things work in the background that most people don't know about. Like I emphasize about the pay and essential workers last night. There are a lot of things especially working with an airline in the FAA, there are things that I experience. And every time I see things like that, I wonder. So I wrote all this down, and this is for my next book. It's going to be coming out. All this stuff, a lot of stuff you heard last night will be in there. And the thing about what I understand with all these agencies is that the military is the only one that actually works. So I pondered that for a while. Why is that? It's all about accountability. All these other agencies don't have that. And therefore...
Yeah.
They stray from the constitutional confines they're supposed to be under, operating under, because they have free range.
I would say right now the FBI is probably top of the list.
Yes. FBI? Yes. Well, there's so many of them. I don't think there's one that doesn't. And I'm only talking federal here.
Right.
Except for the military. The military has – I mean, they – people in the military, they swear an oath of allegiance. They live it every day, and that's what
right.
they live for. nobody in there, you don't have time to think about what you want to do because you're doing whatever they tell you to do.
Right. And right now, you know, I just got a report today that the Biden administration is using military aircraft and military personnel to transport illegal aliens across the country. And to me, that is breaking the oath.
Are you I didn't hear about that.
I got this report today. I have not verified it yet, folks. This is allegedly. This is not based in fact yet. It's just somebody sent me something. I have not had a chance yet to deep dive into it. But this is what I'm hearing.
I know that requires a lot of authorization to do that, but I'd be very surprised that anybody would actually do it, physically do it.
It falls under following orders, even though we know that didn't work after the Nuremberg trial.
Yeah, but you cannot follow orders that are not lawful, and they won't. There's going to be a lot of fights on this then, because this is the way it works. Everybody in the military, most people are snitches. And if you don't follow the orders, somebody's going to get you from the bottom up. Right. I mean, that's how it works. And they're rewarded for it. It doesn't work the other way around. You know, Congress or the government, whatever. The federal doesn't work like that.
They cover for each other. Like, at least in the Democrat Party. The Republican Party, a bunch of weak, spineless cowards, if you ask me, mostly. There's a couple of good ones. I like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan. There's a couple of good ones, you know.
But there's only so many you can count on to actually do things right when it comes down to it. And the fact that all of those – this is another constitutional issue I'll bring up. Remember when President Trump was being voted on for whether it was constitutional or not to prosecute him? Everybody who went along with voting for what's constitutional instead of using the Supreme Court, they're all enemies of our country. Even the Republicans, you can't vote on what's constitutional. That makes no sense. But they went along with it. They went along with the first impeachment, too. Procedures were off. They weren't right. Why did they go along with it? I blame the Republicans for that, both of those. What's right is right. The Constitution says it doesn't work that way. So I'm very surprised they were pliable. And there's nothing they could have done if they didn't carry through. So I don't know what the problem is. That's my military thinking. That's not lawful. We can't do it. I'm not going to do it. Just like they're not going to take the planes and bomb you or anything else because they're loyal to the Constitution, not to the man in the office, to that position. They will follow it all the way until the order is not lawful. And they're not going to just blindly do it. The military doesn't do anything blindly. Everything's planned, and the Patriots love America better than the military.
Yes, we do.
I'm telling everybody, this is the reality. I lived it for 30 years.
Right.
It's all about USA, all about the flag. And this is one of the reasons, this is my strong point for this program, because I lived that for 30 years. I love this country. And I wish I was still in. And all the people there love to defend this country. It's what it's all about. There is no politics. When you get into the Pentagon, maybe the generals, they turn one way or the other, but the people on the ground, people in the sky are all USA all the time. You realize when we go overseas, we're working with a coalition of all these other countries, we are in the lead. They come to us. They salute subserviently to us. We make all the plans. They carry them out on the side. We're number one. We're doing everything. We're leading. We don't lead from behind like some people do. We lead from the front. And it's amazing to see all these
right now with the current administration.
Right. Did you ask a question there?
I was wondering what is exactly going to be the main theme of American Allegiance with Kevin White?
The theme is basically, you know, doing what's right. I'm looking for things that are not, you know, don't line up with the allegiance, just like BLM and Antifa. Those people are out to destroy our country. These are enemies of the state. Yeah. We have congressmen and senators and governors. They're enemies of the state that we really need to get rid of. And I'm not talking about voting
either. Out right now. Breaking news this afternoon on the way home. Black Lives Matter leadership supports the Castro regime in Cuba. There you have it, folks. It don't get any
there
more
you go.
Plain than that. Black Lives Matter is a communist Marxist organization because you don't back communists if you're not. You back the people. And of course,
that's right.
It's our fault that this is happening over there because of the embargo. Remember that, folks.
I will tell you this. I think the biggest enemy of the state is the media, mainstream media.
Amen.
Because without them, and Clara Lopez was talking about things, I think the media is our biggest enemy, and they're letting it go. I mean, they have a monopoly. They say what they want to say and feed it to everybody, and everybody believes it. I have a lot of black friends. All they watch is CNN. They believe every bit of it. And it's sad because they are enemies of our state. And I'm glad the president is going after social media. We need to go after the mainstream media as well.
Yeah. Yes. They need to be some kind of with media. If you tell a story proven false and outright lies, they need to come on and spend as much time covering their mistake as they did telling their mistake, telling their lie.
Right. But all they do is say conspiracy theory and, you know, maybe with a little exaggeration. They're not going to spend time on it because, I mean, that narrative is what they have to keep. That's the orders they get all the way down to your local news, all the way down. They own those stations, the networks.
Yep.
And they're going to do what they say or they're going to be gone. So we have a Gestapo Stalinist media. And Black Lives Matter is, you know, and Antifa, they're allowed to go kill and destroy and, you know, burn buildings up and destroy businesses. And it's okay. They're going
to
back them up.
Lock people inside federal buildings and try to set it on fire numerous times, trying to kill federal agents.
Yes. Yes.
Breaking down the doors of the Supreme Court as Chuck Schumer stands on the front steps hollering. That's not insurrection, what they did. And they actually caused damage and broke in, just like, you know, but the shoe's on the other foot. They're allowed, and you're not. The demon rats, I like to call them, have
right.
become the party of do as I say, not as I do. And that's just the way it is these days in Congress and the United States government and things like that.
Yes, you're right, and I bring up the fact.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Hey, folks, we reached the bottom of the hour. It is the Patriot Nation Radio Show Live, and we have American Allegiant host Kevin White on the line with us. And we have another guest going to be joining us here shortly. We are talking about his show, American Allegiance, which airs Wednesday night, 7 to 8 p.m., right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And I'm just going to take a small break here, Kevin. I got a screen to call. I don't know if I have Gary or if I have Ron on the line because I recognize the area code as one that Gary would use, and it's not the area code that I texted the phone number to for the show tonight. So I want to screen this call while I play this cool tune. Our friend Dave Bray, he comes on the show from time to time. He's really awesome, and I'm going to play a little song for him and for a few minutes here while I screen this call, and we'll see what's happening. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Freedom Rings, Dave Bray. It may have an ad because this is coming off of my favorite thing, YouTube. They always have a commercial. There's the commercial.
Not good. That's why I wear Skechers Stretch Fit. They contour and stretch to my feet for an ultra-comfortable, perfect fit. Get Skechers Stretch Fit. At least stiff and uncomfortable behind. I'm good. So it is said the blood of heroes will never die.
book. That's Freedom Rings. Dave Bray, you can get that song off of Dave Bray, Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition, out for now 2 years or something, been out a while. We've been playing the songs off that album before the album was even written because Dave's our friend. But, Kevin, I got some great news. We talked about it last night a little bit about this in a meeting after your show about an announcement of someone who's coming on the show. And before I bring Ron in, because I see him there in the green room, I'm going to bring this guy on real fast. Ladies and gentlemen, from United Patriots Uprising, our shining star in the universe right now, Gary Binford. What's happening, Gary?
Hi, Mark. Thank you very much for I'm just doing a you rang because I saw you called on me. I don't know about a shining star in the universe. All I know is I just try and do the best I can, try and get the best guests I can, and I thank you for giving me the opportunity.
I am honored to have you guys on this network to join me. When I started this, I was just some guy who was upset that Obama got elected again. And now here I am with one of the best networks in alternative radio out right now. It's got to be the best.
I think we feel the same way because once Obama got elected the second time, I said, oh, heck no. I got to step up my game. I have to find something to do. And this wasn't it. I was not trying to do a radio show. This was James Bostic's idea. And he eventually talked me into it, and it's been quite a run. We just had our 1 year anniversary show about a month, 3 weeks ago, and I've had 74 guests and on 28 shows, and it's been going pretty well.
It's pretty amazing. I don't know if you heard, but Kevin's show was the 1,000th show on Patriot Nation Radio, and I think I did 700 shows before I had anybody join me on the network. So
wow.
It's been really an amazing journey, and I am so proud to have you guys on board. So, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I want to welcome Kevin and the smoothest voice in radio, Ron Edwards. I want to welcome them to the network. They've both been on my show, and I know them both and, talk to them on and off the air. So they're high-quality guys, and they both have a wealth of knowledge. So it's a great opportunity to just continue to increase the brand.
And can you believe that guy Kevin's not a white guy? Oh, my goodness.
Well, I got to spend a weekend with Kevin and his lovely wife Carolyn in South Carolina. I understand growing up, how I and where I grew up, I understand what he was going through because it doesn't really have anything necessarily to do with skin color if you're black. It has to do with how you carry yourself. If you, like a lot of people are very surprised, and this has been going on when I was a sports writer when they met me because they just assume because I don't speak in a black dialect, if that's what they want to call it, and can speak proper English when they meet me and they say, oh, you're a sports writer for Newsday or the New York Daily News or whatever, or even in music management when I was doing that, and they go, oh, you're black. But that's neither here nor there. I don't want to eat into Ron's time, though, because this is Ron's shining moment.
All right, so here we go. We got a really big announcement here, folks. It's coming up here in a short time, and this is a big announcement. So, Gary, tell folks one of your upcoming guests that's coming up.
This is a blessing because, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, if you notice, he hasn't been doing much. You don't see him on the network news much anymore and anything. And I went down to Rock the Red. I met him. I talked to him and at the convention. And we did have a lot of help from some of his friends. But on my next broadcast, which will be Monday, the 26th of July, 7 to 9 p.m., Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, I am honored to say, will be my first guest. He'll be on at 7:07, followed by Tracy Beans, the editor-in-chief of Uncover D.C., who did a lot of the extensive reporting on the case against Michael Flynn, how bogus it was. We'll get Gene Ho back on, my buddy Gene Ho, professional photographer for Trump and Diamond and Silk. He's on tour as we speak with General Flynn. They're in Tucson today, Arizona, and the show will be closed out by former Colorado State Senator Ted Harvey, who is huge on canceling the cancel culture. So that'll be the show. But I am proud and honored to announce Lieutenant General Michael Flynn will be my first guest on July 26th.
Thank you so much, Gary. I appreciate it. That's an amazing honor to have. I'm so proud that you got to have that honor, and I can't wait to hear it. And so, folks, that's July 26th around 7:07 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network with United Patriots Uprising and Gary Binford. Don't miss that one. Thanks a lot, Gary.
Thank you, and continued success to you, the show, and glad to have Kevin and Ron on board.
Amen. And now, without further ado, Kev, we have the guy who's doing our second show. This is just so incredible to me, folks. The American Experience with the smoothest voice in radio, Ron Edwards. Welcome to the show, Ron.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on. And it's an honor for me to be a part of your growing network. And thanks so much for having me on. And, boy, what a lineup you have. Gary Binford, you've got Kevin, and you've got yourself and Mr. James. And it just goes on and on. And you guys are going up like a rocket. It's just phenomenal. And I'm just glad to be a small part of it.
And I'm proud to have you on. You come highly recommended by our great mutual friend, Gary Binford. And the snippets that you send us are excellent. We're going to get them on our soundboard so we can play them, you know, during our shows and at breaks and things like that. Really good
stuff.
Yeah,
I've got some more to send you. I just produced some more today, and I will be sending you guys some more.
So for the listeners, give folks a little background on Ron Edwards, and then we'll talk about the mission.
Okay, Ron Edwards is a guy who I grew up in Cleveland. And I was always concerned about our country. I grew up that way. I was a weird little boy. I remember conversations I would have with my dad. I was 6 years old. I was wondering, what the heck is wrong with the city we are in, Cleveland? And I just noticed things the way they were, and it wasn't right. And he was patient with me, and he really got me going in the right direction concerning this country, that city, and a whole lot of things. And as I grew older and I saw how things were going, they were going totally the opposite of the way my dad instructed me on how things should be going. And it just kept going worse and worse and worse. And so I started getting involved. I was in the news media, started in Cleveland, and moved to Michigan. Ugh. And
wait,
God,
you didn't start
Michigan.
KRP in Cincinnati, did you?
Say that again?
You didn't start at WKRP in Cincinnati.
Well, that's... I remember that.
I'm not talking of Venus flytrap, am I?
But getting back to the story here, when I came to Michigan... And I saw the conditions of Detroit. Blew my mind. Blew me away. Detroit was so horrible, I had to go back and apologize to Cleveland for the way that I harangued Cleveland over the airwaves. I said, oh, my God. And I had a vision one time about a city that would be totally just devoid of anything aesthetic, economically, just a rundown, ugly place. And Detroit was it. And it scared the crap out of me because also part of that vision was it was noted in the vision that if America did not get her moral house in order, she would turn out to be just like that city. And if you notice, as the leftists continue to push morality, conservative ideals out of the mainstream, guess what happens? As their leftist policies and ideas take hold, everything, the quality of everything deteriorates. It doesn't matter what it is, entertainment programming, food, church. They have invaded and have destroyed just about everything as far as quality. And it continues to get worse. And until very recently, the majority of people on our side have been too lazy. They have not been fighting enough. You saw what happened with the Trump administration. Trump, by himself, orchestrated one of the greatest turnarounds economically, military buildups in history, you name it. by himself, basically. The Republicans were trying to undermine him.
And we're still waiting for the Durham report. Huh.
Oh, my God. You know what? They need to fire him and just put him on the ash heap of history along with Fat Barr and the rest of those gaggles of idiots, Mitch McConnell, all those backstabbers, all of them. They need to be rounded up and carted out. Wow. I have less respect for those Republicans who did not work with Trump. I have less respect for them than I do the Democrats, because the Democrats, they're true to their code. They're doing
thick and thin.
They're doing their job.
And they are thick and thin. They stick together,
yeah.
And they rally, and they don't back down.
And
that's why they're winning.
And the Republicans, they'll call you, if you're very conservative, you're too extreme, or they want to find ways to try to compromise just to be liked by Democrats. They haven't learned since, okay, I started really getting serious about these issues during the Reagan years, because as a young guy growing up in that decade, you think the world is your oyster. You thought, oh, my God,
yeah.
It's going so well. We won't give this up. And
everybody,
lo and behold, was
working, everything was rolling.
Everything was going.
Space shuttles were shooting off.
Yeah.
You know,
all things were booming.
Yeah.
And so we gave it up, though. We in the American people, the parents, I had an interview with a gentleman. His name was Ed Young. He was president of the Cleveland School Board. And I said, Mr. Young, I know you guys are really happy now. You're getting more than enough tax revenues. You were complaining about not enough money coming in to educate the children. You've got more than enough. You can build all your school buildings. You can do this, that, and the other. You know what the guy said to me? He says, Ron, are you kidding? You have Mr. Reagan now and what's going on, but we have the future because we have the children. And the guy boldly said that to me. And I was just, I was totally taken aback. But then I remembered Cloward Piven strategy that was taught to me and things of that nature. And I said, wow, this guy is a Marxist. And see, this Marxism that you're seeing today was going on decades ago. We just didn't notice it because they weren't as vocal or as open as they are now, like the Squad. But even back then, you had about 70, on average, about 70 Democrats who were sold-out socialists back then during the Reagan era. But
they were
in a position.
And how many card-carrying communists are in Congress?
Well, today, I think it's double that.
Yeah.
I think it's huge. It's huge because if the numbers weren't huge, Biden would not be, we wouldn't be shaking in our boots wondering, oh my God, are we going to get this $5 trillion bill passed and all that it comes with it? I mean, do they want all of our money? I mean, I guess that's a silly question. Yes, they want all of our money. They don't want us to prosper. They don't want us to have anything. They don't want us to do anything on our own. They want us to suffer.
They want us to be like Venezuelans and Cubans.
That's suffering. There you go. And they're never happy unless we are in misery. Let me give you a little bit of history. In 1962, the city of Detroit was the wealthiest city on earth. Not in America, but on earth. They had a Republican mayor. Now, in 62, Mayor Kavanaugh was elected. He was a Democrat. Within 5 years, the Democrats had created so much chicanery, they had a riot, the largest urban riot in American history in Detroit in 67. The Democrats, rather than encouraging people and initiating policies that build on the positive aspects of American society so that people can prosper, they can raise their own families, they can do whatever they do in their lives. It's not about that for Democrats. It's about misery, control, marginalization, balkanization, division, and the whole, they want us at each other's throat. That's why you keep hearing about the race issue in this country. I mean, that is the dumbest thing in the world for people to buy into. Who cares what your skin color is? What about your character? And they've totally turned and reversed what Martin Luther King died for, basically. And
there's people coming out now against him.
Yeah, against right. Martin Luther King. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy. But they are
unbelievable.
But it's because it's about destruction, breaking down the good framework of American society. And when Kamala on her back Harris had the nerve to compare Democrats to Frederick Douglass.
Ed Board Harris.
Oh, my God. What an insult. I mean, Frederick Douglass was described by Michael Medved, talk show host, as someone who was so heavy he could have easily been a founding father. And if you read right. the story about Frederick Douglass, he loved this country, despite
you know
the fact that he came out of slavery, and yet
you
he
know
was
what,
not bitter.
What told me? What told me all I needed to know about Black Lives Matter was when they went and took down the Frederick Douglass statue. That's when I knew that they were full of crap and that Black Lives don't matter, that the Black Lives matter.
No. No, they want black people in misery. And by the way, Black Lives Matter, one of their main issues and parts of their mission is to make sure that the black man is not in the home in a place of authority as the father figure. That is so a young person, you know, went to Baltimore to join BLM. And they said, well, I can't do it because in order for me to join BLM, I have to hate my father, I have to hate my brother, I have to hate all of the male figures in my family. This is what they're about. And when you see a black man running around there in support of Black Lives Matter, you are witnessing a talking retard. You're witnessing a retarded individual. And
oh boy.
You have to pray for that individual. When you see a black man in support of BLM, pray for them. Pray for his soul, his brain. But it's they've been getting away with all of this brainwashing, and parents are continuing to allow their students, their children, to go in this madness. We have to, as parents, they have to snatch their children out by the millions. And well, we don't have time. We can't afford it. Well, guess what, my friends? If you don't do something now, and Biden and company gets their way, you're not going to be able to afford a McDonald's hamburger within a year. So it's time
one of the
to
things
sacrifice.
They,
mm-hmm.
they push for, the push for $15 an hour minimum wage, and the people that are like, yes, it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I'm like, look, folks, stop right there. $15 an hour, you got to understand, is the companies that are going to be having this raised and having to pay this will not be paying this. We will be paying
correct.
It. And in five
correct.
Years' time, those people getting $15 an hour minimum wage will be saying, $15 minimum wage ain't enough. We need 20.
Yes. And because of the policies of the feds and Congress, the American dollar continues to be worth less and less and less, so you need more and more and more just to buy the essentials of life, rather than turning around and getting our monetary system back on a tangible way, such as on gold and silver. They decide, well, whatever we think, we'll just crank it out and just spend it. That's going to run out. We cannot continue to spend and tax our way into oblivion. You cannot tax your way to prosperity, and you cannot tax your way or spend your way into greatness. America
right
is wasting away her blessings in record term. We have the largest government in the world, the largest. You would think the communist China would be. You would think. But here's the thing. We have the largest government bureaucracy in the world, but China has the largest army or military in the world. Think about that.
Yeah. When you add the American Patriot to that mix, us Second Amendment supporters that keep this country free, you add them to the mix, they don't have a chance.
I believe that. But the only problem with that are missiles and, huge modern weaponry that can wipe out swaths of human beings by the hundreds of thousands in seconds. That's that's the only thing we have to worry about. And they don't care. I mean, the Chinese, they asked, there was one time Johnny Carson was interviewing Muhammad Ali, and he said, Muhammad, you're loved all over the world. Do you think there's a place anywhere in the world that you're not well known or loved? And Ali looked around, he looked back and forth, and he said, well, China, they don't give a damn. And they don't. China
does not
give
out?
A damn.
Is that how it goes?
Who
out?
Asked him?
Yeah.
Who asked him that? No, actually it was Johnny Carson. But
you said that. I used to love
it.
Yeah,
Howard Cosell, speaking of sports. But, Howard Cosell and that whole gang. And it's true. The Chinese don't give a damn. I have a good friend who's from Ghana, and he talks about how not only Ghana but other nations in Africa turned away from the United States and Great Britain, thinking that they would get a better deal with China because they were not white. Well, guess what? They are sorry, but it's too late.
Yep.
China has them by the you-know-what and has their minerals in their pockets. So that's the unwise decision that they decided to make. But Africans have been making unwise decisions ever since they, who were the ones that sold my ancestors into slavery to Muslims and then to the white man. And so for Americans to run around here today and complain about slavery, but here's something that also exposes their hypocrisy. When these people run around here talking about American slavery or slavery and things of that nature, ask them about their concern for the current slavery in the Middle East, in the Sudan, the millions of blacks that are enslaved today and Christians. You know what happens? Oh, we're not talking about that.
Yeah, they don't count.
Or you just get crickets. Yeah.
That's not my answer.
Which exposes their not lack of concern for real issues. It's all about destruction. They use issues in America as wedge issues to bring about division and destruction. Because the more divided people are, the more dumbed down they are, the more automatically they latch on the policies, principles, and ideas that are destruction to them. And that is what you're witnessing. That is why for six decades in cities like Chicago, people have voted the same way while conditions got worse and worse and worse. And it the only way to break out of this, first of all, people have to want to.
Yep. That's
the,
in anything.
First comes the desire, then comes the will, then comes the way and the work.
Yep.
You have to work your way out of it. Yes, sir.
We're right here at the end of our show. So I want to talk a little bit about your show coming up. It's going to be on Sundays, simulcast, 3 p.m. on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, if I'm correct.
Correct.
And it's the American Experience with Ron Edwards. Tell us a little bit about the show, because I got about a minute and a half, and then I'm going to wrap it up.
Well, the show is a great broadcast. We talk about all the issues of the day concerning our nation. We have great guests, not as often as Gary, but we do have guests on the show. And it is born out of a concern for this great republic called the United States of America. And it's an expression of love for the country and getting the truth out, as all of us are on this great network. And that's what it's about, doing my part to help bring about the truth through the Ron Edwards American Experience. And the talk show has been on the air for several years now. We're also rebroadcast on weekends on radio stations around the country, and the Edwards Notebook is on many stations, overnights on Salem radio stations via the Captain's America Third Watch. And thank you guys for picking up the Edwards Notebook as well. And, you know, I'm very, very much looking forward to joining in with you guys' great network.
And we are proud to have you guys. And Kevin's on with us, too. His show is going to be Wednesdays, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. That's p.m. time, Eastern, in the Eastern time zone. And that's American Allegiance with Kevin White. And, of course, the American Experience with Ron Edwards, the smoothest voice in radio, I'm told. As you can hear right here, ladies and gentlemen, that is smooth like butter. There you have it.
Hey, but
so I want to thank you guys so much for coming to join our network. I am so proud and excited for the great direction of our network. And all I see is a bright future, and I'm excited. And I got to have the lineup coming up here in the next few weeks, too. You got to hear this lineup. Let's see. Where's my calendar? I need my calendar for this one. I have everything on the calendar. I got a good calendar coming up, folks. I got next Thursday, I believe, is Del Bigtree. You may remember this guy. His name is Del Bigtree, and he made a movie called Vaxxed, where they made the correlation between the MMR, mumps, measles, rubella shot, and autism. They connected the dots and proved it.
Yes.
He's going to be on the show. That's a great he's a great guest. He's been on the show a few times. And then Thursday, July 29th, Oath Keeper whistleblower, the FBI, they tried to recruit this guy to infiltrate the Trump rally on January 6th. And he videotaped it, and he recorded the phone calls, and he's going to be on January 6th telling his story. He's trying to get it out. The FBI is crooked. They went after this guy, and he wants to tell his story, so he's going to tell his story on the 29th. So that's pretty good, exciting stuff coming up here, folks. And you want to make sure that you tune in to these shows. And, of course, the amazing, the one and only, Gary Binford, United Patriots Uprising, July 26th at 7.07 p.m. right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. General Michael Flynn live on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. That's amazing, cutting-edge, great stuff. General Flynn's not out and about doing media. He's out, you know, he's on tour. He's making speeches, but you don't see him doing much media. He'll be doing media with Gary Binford. That's amazing stuff. So stick around. Our network is growing. We got shows 5 days a week now, and we are moving in the right direction. And so at this moment, I would like everybody to please rise as I play this amazing version of the Star Spangled Banner by my good friend Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com, Music on a Mission, Storytelling Edition. Here we go. And join me. Here we wipe the flag and here. folks. Tune in Monday for United Patriots Uprising, Tuesday for Conservative Perspective, Wednesday for American Allegiance, Thursday for Conservative Perspective and Patriot Nation Radio, and Sundays with the American Experience. We are rocking. Until we meet again, folks, good night. God bless you. God bless America. Thank you to my most amazing guests tonight, Kevin and Ron, and, of course, Gary Binford with his huge announcement. Good night. Peace out. Love you all. Without you, there is no Patriot Nation Radio. So thank you for tuning in. Good night.